Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel. And guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Friday, December 15th, 2023 in the Gregorian calendar and the 3rd of Tevet, 5784 in the Hebrew calendar. Now, let's get to the news. There is a tragic development. The IDF spokesperson, Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari, confirms another friendly fire incident that happened during a skirmish in Gaza. A unit mistakenly fired upon three individuals later identified as Israeli hostages. This is what caused their deaths. The victims are named Yotam Chaim from Kfar Aza, Samer Talalka from Nir Am. He was a Bedouin Israeli, and an unnamed third individual whose family did not want to go on the record. The Bedouin mayor spoke to Army Radio saying, quote, "Such bitter news. Bedouins and Jews were taken hostage together, managed to flee together in an effort to continue their lives, and ended their lives together in this very tragic event," end quote. Israeli officials think these three men either fled from captivity or were abandoned by their captors during an intense IDF firefight in northern Gaza. It's not totally clear how this unfolded. I'm sure more details will come out on this, but in the meantime, Israelis have come out by the hundreds, protesting in front of Tel Aviv's Kiryat military base in outrage after the three hostages were killed by their own army, who was supposed to protect them. The protesters are seen waving signs with names and pictures of these men, as well as other hostages, calling for their immediate release. The bodies were transported to Israel for examination. The IDF expresses its deep sorrow and condolences to the grieving families, sharing the insights gained from the incident with active combat units. Israel Defense Forces have announced the recovery of the bodies of two soldiers and a civilian hostage taken captive by Hamas terrorists on October 7th. The soldiers, Corporal Nick Baser and Sergeant Ron Sherman, were working as the IDF's Gaza District Coordination and Liaison near the Erez border crossing. Friends and family say it's a true tragedy that they specifically were killed, being that their job was to ensure the safety of Gazans and liaise with those on the other side of the border. The civilian, Elia Toledano, a French-Israeli citizen, was seized from a music festival near Kibbutz Re'im. Sherman's family and friends must have been on a serious roller coaster, as Sherman was on the phone with his mom when he had to cut the conversation short as Hamas terrorists entered. He told his mom via WhatsApp text, quote, "That's it, Mom. They're here. It's over. I love you." But then about 4 or 5 hours later, a Hamas video surfaced showing him bound up on the back of a pickup truck, alive and well. And as I'm sure that we could all imagine, all of our listeners here, that mother was likely very hopeful that he would come back alive. Well, the news is out today that he was brought back from Gaza, but he was found dead. In addition to this, the IDF announces the deaths of three more Israeli soldiers. Sergeant Oz Shmuel Aradi, a 19-year-old soldier from Kibbutz Hatzor near Ashdod, serving in the Combat Engineering Corps, was killed in action in southern Gaza just about a day or so ago. Sergeant First Class Reservist Shai Uriel Pizim, 23 years old and a tank commander, comes from Ein HaNatziv, and he lost his life in battle Friday morning. Master Sergeant Reservist Tomer Shlomo Miara, a member of the Combat Engineering Corps, comes from Netanya. He was killed on Friday in northern Gaza. Four reservist soldiers sustained serious injuries in fighting across the Palestinian enclave the same day, as reported by the military. It's estimated that there are 132 hostages still in Gaza, although not all of them are presumed to be alive. The total number of soldiers killed in this war is standing at 119 from the ground operation. The ongoing military operation aims to eliminate Hamas and get hostages returned. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan visited Israel and is doubling down on the U.S. stance that the Palestinian Authority should govern Gaza after Israel's conflict with Hamas comes to an end. However, he acknowledged the need for significant changes within the PA for it to be suitable to execute this job. Sullivan did not address Israel's rejection of the PA, or Palestinian Authority, taking control. He focused instead on the U.S. position. He emphasized the need to revamp and revitalize the Palestinian Authority, acknowledging the importance of updates in governance and representation. Sullivan later met with the 88-year-old Palestinian Authority president, Mahmoud Abbas, in Ramallah to discuss these matters. The ongoing conflict with Hamas in Gaza and potential transitions were also discussed, with Sullivan stressing the complexity of distinguishing civilians from combatants. The timeline for the conflict's next phase and concerns about civilian casualties were the key topics during Sullivan's visit. The situation on Israel's northern border, particularly tensions with Hezbollah and the threat posed by Houthi rebels in Yemen, were also a topic of discussion with U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. Israeli War Cabinet Minister Benny Gantz warned that Israel might forcibly push Hezbollah away from the Lebanese border if diplomatic efforts by the international community don't get the job done. Gantz invited Western diplomats to observe the threat posed by Hezbollah and emphasized Israel's willingness to take action if necessary. Hezbollah has been sending missiles into Israel since October 8th, the literal next day after Israel was massacred by Hamas in the south. And of course, Hezbollah has been firing rockets into Israel since eternity, but specifically in context with this war. They started up their firing on October 8th. I was going to call it nonsense. So far, Hezbollah has killed 6 Israeli soldiers in the north of Israel and 4 private civilians. People in the north of Israel are tense, and there has been a mass evacuation of those living in the north. By the way, there are 275,000 total evacuees throughout Israel. No one's living at the south. No one's living at the north. Farms are going unattended. I mean, the crisis continues on. No one in the international media talks about the 275,000 displaced Israelis. 120 Lebanese have been killed, with nearly all of them being Hezbollah terrorists. That's 107 Hezbollah operators killed in Syria, where they carry out activities. Yes, Hezbollah is an Iranian proxy, and it operates in the south of Syria, and it operates in the south of Lebanon. Their purpose is to kill Israelis and wreak havoc and destruction on Israel. 107 Hezbollah operators were killed, 16 Palestinian terrorists were killed, 14 civilians were killed in these fires. And when I say fire, I mean missiles, I mean shooting, and 3 journalists were killed as well. The IDF conducted intensive training in northern Israel to prepare for potential scenarios on the northern border. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan emphasized the need for diplomacy, but acknowledged the importance of deterrence against threats from Hezbollah and in Lebanon. The international community is urged to enforce UN Security Council Resolution 1701, aiming to disarm armed forces in Lebanon specifically and particularly Hezbollah. Now, if you haven't figured it out by now, Israel is dealing with a multi-front battle, and part of that battle are the Houthi rebels. They're awake. The Houthi rebels fired a ballistic missile from Yemen into the Red Sea, which struck a Liberian-flagged cargo ship called the MSC Palatium III. The attack was apparently aimed at the Al Jazeera, which had been targeted earlier. Another missile fired during the attacks missed both ships. The attacks are part of a series by the Iran-backed Houthis, responding to the Israel war in their solidarity. The Houthi attacks on shipping in the Red Sea have escalated, raising concerns about broader regional conflict and threats to maritime trade routes. The Bab el-Mandeb Strait is a critical point of passage for global shipping, and this is not the first time that Houthi rebels have done this. They've been doing this since the outbreak of war, and they've targeted all ships that are related to, involved, or heading to Israel, and that includes American warships as well. The Israelis are eating this up, and it made news today, so I'm going to share it with you. A senior Biden administration official referred to Hamas chief Yahya Sinwar, saying that his days are numbered and that justice will be served when discussing the man's role in orchestrating the October 7th terror onslaught in which 1,200 Israelis were killed and 240 were taken captive. Sinwar is accused of having American blood on his hands with the death of 38 Americans during the attack and 8 U.S. citizens and permanent residents currently being held hostage in Gaza. There are about 135 hostages remaining, and not all of them are alive. In fact, about 20 of them are thought to be just dead bodies. The official discussed that Sinwar is hiding in Khan Yunis and suggested that his location is known. The IDF reportedly surrounded Sinwar's home, and a bounty was placed on his head. Yes, that's right. That bounty is worth $400,000 for Yahya Sinwar. If you are listening to the Israel Daily News podcast and you know where he is, you could get about $400,000 for that information. Sinwar, a leader of Hamas in Gaza, has been accused of orchestrating this attack, which prompted Israel's military response to eliminate Hamas from Gaza. So he's sort of one of the top members. The Hamas-run health ministry in Gaza claims that more than 18,600 Palestinian casualties have come from this war. But the figures are unverified. The figures account for both terrorists and civilians. We know that this is a huge casualty rate. And like I said today, I did a hit for the Fox News national streaming platform. It's a pretty new program. And I've been with them, I would say, about four or five times now to give updates from the Israeli perspective. And I said on the program today, there is not one person that I know, not one Israeli, not one Jew, that is celebrating a Palestinian death. I'm not hearing it. When we sit around the table, we're not talking about, oh, we got them. No, there is mourning for the Palestinians as well. Nobody feels good about this. Nobody is happy about this. The Jews are not celebrating this. The Jews are not praising this. We don't hand out candies in the streets when Palestinians die. But I have reported on this show many times in the past that Palestinians hand out treats and sweets whenever Israelis are dead. And we have video of that. And today, I didn't include this because it was a side story, but I'll include it now. There was praise and cheering and excitement when there was a missile barrage. And this came from Palestinians in East Jerusalem. So there's a lot of cheer from Palestinians when Jews are dead. Not so much cheer from my view of Israelis, and I do think that that is quite important. The Israeli cabinet has approved the temporary reopening of the Kerem Shalom crossing to allow humanitarian aid into Gaza for the first time since the war began on October 7th. The decision comes after pressure from the Biden administration and is part of the truce that secured the release of 105 hostages last month. Israel committed to facilitating the entry of 200 trucks per day of humanitarian aid into Gaza. The cabinet decision only extends to aid from Egypt, but not the United Nations. The U.S. pledged to finance the upgrading of the Rafah crossing to eventually be the sole crossing for aid into Gaza. The Israeli Defense Forces has conducted a trial to flood Hamas tunnels beneath Gaza with seawater, aiming to destroy the tunnel network and force militants above ground. The flooding, reported originally by the Wall Street Journal, has been confirmed by the Times of Israel, and I'm very cautious about things that are preliminary. I hate preliminary, but it seems that this is an operation. The flooding is an operation that's underway, and it's being done as a limited trial, understood to have been successful. Senior Hamas official Osama Hamdan claims the tunnels have been engineered to withstand such tactics, and I've read that not all of the tunnels are connected, by the way. IDF spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari says the army operates based on intelligence to avoid harm to hostages, some of whom are believed to be inside those tunnels. The flooding is part of Israel's efforts to combat Hamas's underground infrastructure. The IDF released footage showing Hamas operatives in a tunnel being shot dead by forces from the elite Yahalom Combat Engineering Reconnaissance Unit. Well, the IDF has released some footage that was going viral on Instagram and social media platforms yesterday showing Palestinian gunmen surrendering at the Kamal Adwan Hospital in the north part of Gaza. In the picture, you can see young men walking. They're only wearing pants, no shirt, and they're holding their weapons over their head. And this image has gone viral, as have the other images. The IDF says that some 70 Hamas operatives have surrendered to Israeli troops and that they've handed over their firearms and equipment. They're now all being questioned by the Shin Bet and Military Intelligence Directorate's unit. I want to thank all of you for your interest in Israeli affairs. Israeli politics are world politics. I also want to thank all of you who personally finance and fund the Israel Daily News podcast with monthly contributions. You can support us with a monthly contribution by heading over to anchor.fm/Israel Daily News. You can contribute whatever feels good to you. Listener support is what keeps this show running, and I'm very proud of that. I love that. I like that the show is funded by the people that listen to it. It means that it gives me the opportunity to continue doing the work the way that I think the work should be done, and I am doing this work with your listenership and your support. So more than anything, I want to thank you all for supporting me and giving me your words of affirmation. I love your emails. All of your words that you send me get me into the recording chair. I also want to do a special thank you to all of you who have made a one-time contribution to my special wartime coverage, which I take very seriously. I have a GoFundMe page, which a friend of mine encouraged me to start at the beginning of war. I've been doing a lot of unpaid work. I do a lot of speaking engagements. I say yes to be invited onto media channels. I do Fox hits. I do left-wing hits. Anything that I am asked for, I say yes. And a lot of it is not paid. So I just want to thank all of you who have been supporting me in the one-time contribution, or if you want to come back to that page and do it a second time, type in my name, Shanna Fold, and GoFundMe. You'll find it. Thank you so much to Shara Beth Green, Carmel McGreary, Benjamin Michael, Della Wilson, Diane Shevelowitz, Gary Cohen, and one anonymous donor who have all been sending donations through the GoFundMe page. I appreciate you for supporting me while I put out podcasts, appear on news programs, write articles, speak for students, and just, you know, even posting on Instagram every day, making sure that the presence is out there. All of your contributions help me to continue to move around, do the work, get up in the morning. And if you've heard your name being read out now or in the past because you've submitted a donation or a contribution, send me an email with your mailing address at shannafold@gmail.com, and I will respond with a handwritten note to show you my appreciation, but I do need your address, so send that to me. You can also support us by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. 2, you can share the show with a friend. And 3, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at israeldaily.news, as well as Shanna Fold. My name has 2 N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. You can also find us on Twitter at Israel Podcast. North American Jewry have so far reportedly raised approximately $1 billion for Israel within the first month of its conflict with Hamas, with the Jewish Federations of North America contributing about $600 million, surpassing their $500 million goal. The remaining funds were estimated to come from various communal and private organizations with Jewish affiliations. There have also been 143 solidarity rallies across North America. Congratulations to the Jewish community for showing up and showing out. Now, I always try to leave you off with something a bit positive. So I'd like to share a little bit about an immigrant in Israel. We can call him an ole chadash in Hebrew. He hails from the United States and he is now doing barbecues for Israeli soldiers. He's putting a meaty smile on their faces when they come back from the battlefield. 37-year-old Rob Eisenberg, also called Rob King of Barbecue, originally comes from Philadelphia and started having barbecues for his friends at his apartment in Israel in the Tel Aviv area with encouragement from friends. He opened a business in Hebrew. It's called Rab Melech HaMangal, the Rab the King of Barbecue, and hosted small private events centered around smoked meats. After October 7th, Rob realized that he could use his business and his talent to start feeding soldiers across Israel. And since then, he has hosted dozens of barbecues, around 2 to 3 per week, on bases bordering Lebanon, Syria, and he's even gone about a half mile away from Gaza. And since starting, he has fed upwards of 3,500 soldiers, probably even more, because I spoke with him a couple of weeks ago. Let's hear from Rob about his experience barbecuing for soldiers. For your convenience, you might hear him use the word esh, and esh or esh means fire, if you would translate it to English.
So for the first event, you know, I just used my money and I did it for everyone and they were super happy. And then I started posting on social media. And one of my friends said, hey, get a Venmo, get a, you know, one of those GoFundMe. So I did that. And then, boom, money just started coming in. I'm like, wow, now I got more money to do events. So I just started focusing on doing more and more events and booking it in. And I overbooked myself sometime, like 4 events in a week. It's too much. I can do 2, maybe 3. I have never received such positive feedback in anything I've ever done in my entire life. I was telling my friends, I said, look at all these messages that I get from the soldiers, how I appreciate the amount of, I mean, I've had lieutenant colonels, majors, like shake me, look me in the eye and said, like, what you're doing is so incredible. I heard personal stories about they had the worst rough couple days, things we in normal life can't even imagine, the death, the blood, what they've seen. Said, the way you lifted our spirits is insane. Like, it's really crazy. I go there, they treat me like I'm the biggest hero, like I'm the biggest gibor. And I'm like, you guys are all the heroes. I'm just making you guys food. I'm doing nothing.
Rob plans to continue to feed as many soldiers as he can. He says if they're going to risk their lives 24/7 for weeks and months, he can be down there on the front lines, risking it for a few hours to lift morale and give them the best meat they've ever tasted. And now for a Torah thought from Rabbi Yossi Madvig.
The last couple of Torah portions have focused on dreams. First, you had the dreams of Joseph, where he dreamed about collecting the sheaves of grain and all of them bowing down to his sheaf of grain, and the sun and the moon and stars bowing down to his star. And in this week, you have the dreams of Pharaoh. And in Pharaoh's dreams, he dreams about the skinny cows and the fat cows, the skinny cows eating the fat cows, and the withered stalks of grain and the healthy stalks of grain, and the withered stalks eat the healthy stalks. And there's many differences that we could focus on and learn lessons from, but I want to focus on one, and that is that in Pharaoh's dream, Pharaoh represents spiritually the idea of negativity and evil. And in Pharaoh's dreams, there's no work being done. The cows and the stalks of wheat are just there. Whereas in Joseph's dreams, the stalks of wheat are being gathered together, right? There's work being done in the field. And in Hasidic philosophy, the word avodah, work, is also connected to ibud, which also means to work, but to, like, when you're tanning leather and working skin into leather. And Hasidic philosophy takes this etymological connection and says the most important type of work is the inner work that we do on ourselves. And we always want to improve ourselves, and we'll make all sorts of New Year's resolutions, and we'll make all sorts of promises, and we'll even commit to having to work hard to get the job done. And when we don't see immediate results, we tend to slack off and we give up. Hasidic philosophy says no. Working on yourself means ibud. Working on yourself means that you have to really work hard. And not only that, but it has to end up being a permanent change. It's not just a one and done. It's something that you continue to do and that once it's finished, it actually lasts permanently. That's the real work that has to be done. So I give us all a blessing that we should go out into the world and we should do the work and make real, lasting, permanent change, both within ourselves and within the world. Shabbat Shalom.
Excellent. Thank you for that. I know that the listeners really love that little bit of light at the weekend. All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Today is Friday, December 15th, 2023. Tel Aviv has a low of 16 degrees Celsius and a high of 22 degrees. That's 56 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 75 degrees for the high. Subscribe to the Israel Daily News Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing it from. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. It's a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week, and of course a personal note from me at the top telling you what I really think, what I really feel, and usually giving you links to my published works or my media appearances. You can sign up for that at israeldaily.news. A big thank you goes out to our social media director, Michelle Milner. I'll send you off with a brand new song called Yehye Tov. It means it's going to be good, and it's sung by Jewish and Israeli artists Idan Tamler, Nicole Raviv, and Morty Weinstein in light of Hanukkah. The famous song Yehye Tov originally was done by Jasmine Moelem and has been playing all over the radio during war, and these guys did their own take and arrangement referencing Hatikva at the end, and it'll be on streaming platforms everywhere soon. It was recorded while these guys were in New York City for a minute, and they've since returned to Israel, so I hope you enjoy this song. I know I did, and just remember, it's going to be good. Enjoy this piece, have a great and productive day, and an excellent weekend. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
גם אם יישרף הכסף, נשב ונצחק במרפסת. אני ואת והשקט, לא צריך כלום כרן שמש. גם אם ייקח לנו זמן, תראי שהכל מכוון. נשב מסביב לשולחן, אני מבטיח לך שבסוף יהיה טוב. הפרחים ישובו לפרוח, תראי שיהיה טוב. יהיה טוב, גם אם יש עוד דרך לעבור, בסוף יהיה טוב.
הפרחים ישובו לפרוח, תראי שיהיה טוב.
יהיה טוב,
יהיה טוב,
יהיה טוב.
גם מתוך החושך
אנחנו בחדר, מה עברנו בשנה זה כמו עשר. לא זה לא במילים זה התדר. ניסיתי לעשות לנו סדר, לפעמים רואים רק את הסדר, נמצא את הדרך בלי נדר. אז מטס כל כך מהר, אנחנו בטח לא נזכור את מה שאין, רק מה שכן. אפשר לעזוב את העיר, ניסע על הכביש המהיר, עתיד תמיד מסביר, לא צריך כלום רק אוויר. נמצא איזה אור שבור, נחיה שם כאילו ברור, שמדובר בהרמון, רק תזכור
שבסוף יהיה טוב. הפחים ישובו לברוח, תראה שיהיה טוב, יהיה טוב. גם אם יש עוד דרך לעבור, בסוף יהיה טוב.
הפרחים ישובו לפרוח, תראה שיהיה טוב,
יהיה טוב,
יהיה טוב,
יהיה טוב.
גם מתוך החושך ידלק האור.
אני בטח לא אקח את זה לאט את בטח לא תחזיקי את הנגדי וזה בטח טוב מדי ועוד משעת יקרה משהו בטוח זה לא אמיתי אם יקרה לך משהו אני משתגע אם יקרה לך משהו זה הסוף שלי אם יקרה לך משהו אני משתגע אם יקרה לך משהו זה הסוף שלי אני בטח לא אקח את זה לאט את בטח לא תחזיקי את זה נגדי וזה בטח טוב מדי ועוד מעט יקרה משהו בטוח זה לא אמיתי משהו אני משתגע אם יקרה לך משהו זה הסוף שלי אם יקרה לך משהו אני משתגע אם יקרה לך משהו זה הסוף שלי אני בטח לא אקח את זה לאט את בטח לא